Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. We are starting a new teaching, and this new teaching is titled Not Under the Law. So it's sort of a continuation of what we've been talking about. So the previous teaching had been on what the old covenant is and what the new covenant is, and what does it mean when people say we're not under the law. So that's why we're starting this new teaching. So hopefully by now, you have some clear understanding of what the old covenant was and who was it between and what were its requirements and what is the new covenant, who is it for, who is it between, and what are the requirements for the new covenant. So now we're going to talk about what does it mean when Christians say, or you hear them say, well, we're not under the law anymore. We're under the law of grace, basically. So when they say we're not under the law, they're basically referring to the Mosaic law. And remember, there were how many laws? Mosaic laws, about 613 laws. And I think most Christians would agree that when they say that, they're definitely agreeing on that we're not under their ceremonial law that was in the Old Testament or the civil law. So the other part that is left is the moral law. So I think that's up for debate. I think Christians may interpret it differently. Some may say, yes, we're free from that law as well. And some may say, no, we're still bound to the moral law. So some of you guys that are listening might say, this is all great for you guys who may be Jewish or Christian. This really doesn't apply to me. You know, I was not born in a Jewish family or in a Christian family, and I don't think this applies to me. So I really don't get this teaching, and it works for you guys, great. It doesn't work for me. We have our own way, our own faith, and it's just different than you guys. So I'm just going to skip this teaching. So just hang in there and let's go over some more truths about the scripture when it talks about that the believers in Christ are not under the law. So you would agree, even if you say I'm not a Christian or I'm not a Jew, you would agree that God has put certain laws in your heart, right? That all human beings have a conscience and knowing of what's right and what's wrong, right? And that says that in Romans 2, 14 through 15, it says, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them. So you would agree that definitely, whether you believe in the Bible or not, that the laws of doing right or wrong, the moral laws, are in your heart. You do know by nature what's right and what's wrong, right? So you might agree to that. So hopefully you're agreeing to that. So let's say, okay, yeah, I agree to that, and I know, and by nature, I'm a good person. I do my best to do good. You know, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't destroy, I don't bring anybody harm. I even volunteer, I give money to the poor, I help whenever I can. I'm truly, truly a good person. So if God was to judge me, I should go to heaven, and He should not hold anything against me, right? So let's see what James 2:10 says. James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So ask yourself this question. Have you kept all the laws, the moral laws that God has put in your heart all the time, 100% of the time? So I think if you're honest with yourself, you would say, no, well, of course I have not. Or you might think, yeah, I have. Honestly, to the best of my knowledge, I have. I have kept the law, and I do things right. And as far as I know, I have kept the law. Well, the Bible says that there's no way that we can do that. I mean, one of the Ten Commandments is do not use God's name in vain. So have you ever said God whatever and then use a curse word, or Jesus Christ and then use a curse word, or just say, oh my God, I can't, you know. So that's using God's name in vain. I mean, we do it all the time without even thinking. It's kind of like just a habit, right? So that right there, we break the law. You know, we commit a sin. And you might say, no, I honestly don't do that. I don't use God's name in vain. Okay, how about this? Do you ever wish you had what somebody else has, or do what somebody else is doing, or look how somebody else's looks, which is coveting, right? Which is saying, I want what they have. I want to be able to do what they do, and I want to look like them or have the opportunities that they have. Have you ever done that in your life? I'm sure we have, many times, over and over. It's just like a natural thing to us, right? So that's also breaking the law. That's a sin. So again, going back to the Bible, it says no one can keep all the law. So if you keep 99% of it and break 1% of it, like break one time in your life, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And then you might say, well, that's harsh. Who can do that? Exactly. That's the point. Nobody can keep the law. So now let's see what the Bible says about people who think they may not break the law, but keep it. Galatians 2:16 says, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous shall live by faith. So what does that mean? No one who lives on, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Relies on the law. So if you're relying on the fact that, you know, in my heart, I'm good and I do things good, it says you're not justified before God. What does justified means? You're not declared free of guilt and sin or its penalty. Okay. So also Galatians 2:16 says, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because the works of the law, no one will be justified. So if you think I'm a good person and I do good in my heart, as far as I know, I don't sin. The Bible is saying in Galatians 2:16 and also Galatians 3:11 that nobody will be justified, which means nobody will be declared free of guilt and sin and the sin's penalty before God by the law. So then you might question and say, okay, great. Well, that doesn't make sense. Then why would God even give us the law or put those laws in our heart? Even if we keep them, it says that we're not justified by it. So what was the purpose of the law? Like it just doesn't seem fair or doesn't make sense. So let's see, why did God give the law in the first place if nobody could keep it, right? So the purpose of the law was so that it will shine a light on sin. Until then, people, you know, if there's, for example, if you're driving on the freeway and you're in a country that doesn't have a speed limit for the freeways, right? And you can go like 100 miles per hour and nobody's going to stop you. Are you breaking the law? You're not, because there's no law against it, right? What if you're here where the speed limit is what, 65, 70 on the freeway? If you go 80, are you breaking the law? Yes, because there's a law against going over the speed limit. So it was the same thing. There was no laws for the nation of Israel back then. So God had to give these laws for them to kind of have a guideline and make them aware of sin, because before that, they didn't even know they're sinning, right? So Romans 3, I'm going to skip to verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin. So the purpose of the law was to make people conscious of their sin. Again, Romans 7:7, part of it, the second part of it says, I would not have known what sin is, what sin was, had it not been for the law. So just keep that in mind. The purpose of the law that God gave to the nation of Israel was to make them conscious of sin and actually humanity's need for a savior. Okay, so now what happens? Okay, so God gave us a law we can't keep. Or if we have to keep all of it, if we don't keep 100% of it, we're guilty of sin. Yes, okay, so now we accept, all right, we're guilty of sin, so now what? So now we have to, then what's our solution, right? What's the solution for this sin conscience that we may have? And we're humans, okay, and God knows what he created, right? So this is where it points to Jesus. So This is Hebrews 10, 9 through 12. I'm just going to read part of it. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. So Jesus saying, Lord, I have come to do your will, right? And then the second part of it says, we have been made holy. Well, let me read the whole thing so it makes sense. So it says, then he said, here I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. The first what? The first covenant. To establish the second what? The second covenant, which is the covenant of grace. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Okay, maybe this is too much, but let's kind of break it down. So first of all, Jesus came, right, to do God's will. He knew why he was here on earth. And then the second part is saying, we have been made holy. Who is we? Anybody on the face of the earth who accepts this and receives it, right? It's available, but not everybody's saved, because this has to be a conscious choice on the individual's part to receive this gift of salvation. So the ones that have, it says, they have been made holy. Holy, seriously? Like, how can we be made holy? We sin regularly, hopefully less and less as we grow, you know, closer to God. But how can we be made holy? But it says, God has made us holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So that means if you sin tomorrow, are you still holy? According to scripture, you are. So again, in verse 11, it goes on to say, actually, it's verse 12. We're still in Romans 10. It says, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. So God provided a sacrifice for us, his son. And he says, once he offered for all time, means once and for all, he took care of sin, right? One sacrifice for sin. Remember in the Old Testament, they had to kill these poor animals over and over every time, right? But it says there was only one sacrifice for sin this time. So now let's go over Galatians 3:13, which is a continuation of how Jesus paid the price of sin instead of us. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So, is there a curse for sin? Yes. Was there a price that had to be paid for our sins? Yes. Who paid that price? Jesus did, right? He became a curse for us. What does that mean? He became a curse for us. Okay, remember, he was captured. He was put on trial. He was tortured beyond our imagination. I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, The Passion of Christ, see it. And I've heard people say that's not even close to how Jesus suffered. Like, it was way more than that, that he was not even recognizable as far as the beatings that he took. But anyway, so he became a curse. So when he was dying on the cross, he was suffering, right? He was, just imagine all the pain he went through, and he was suffering. He was being tortured and then killed. So he did receive the curses on the cross, and he did pay the price for sin. And then remember in Matthew 26:28, he prophesied, he foretold of what was going to happen. Jesus, right? This is during the Last Supper. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the right forgiveness of sins. What did he say? He was showing what's going to happen. He said, my blood is going to be poured out. For who? For just the nation of Israel? No. For Christians only? No. It says for many. It's really for anybody who's accepting this, who's believing this. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so we have, everybody on the face of the earth has a way to have their sins forgiven, and that's if they believe the story of gospel, that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, came to pay the price for sin instead of us. And God accepted that. He accepted that sacrifice on our behalf. So I hope this kind of gives you guys an understanding when, again, people say old covenant, new covenant, we're under grace. Hopefully this brought some clarification. But I will be doing another teaching on the subject of the moral laws that are written in our hearts. So if we're under the grace, some people might ask, okay, great, wonderful. I accept this gift of salvation. I get to do whatever I want to do, and I can get away with it because the price of sin has been paid once and for all. Honestly, some Christians, they truly believe that. And there is a misconception about that. And some might say, well, no, you will still pay a price for sin because it's in your heart. So this whole thing can be really confusing. So are we forgiven or are we not? Is there a price to pay or is there not a price to pay? Did Jesus cover all the sin? And then why would I be punished if I sin? So it can be very confusing. And I think Christians can take a different stance on this. So I will be doing another teaching that goes over that, that has to do with the moral law that God has written in everybody's heart. And what happens when we sin? Are we forgiven? Are we punished? And all that. So stay tuned for that teaching. So until then, God be with you and God bless you.